is Jenny Johnson Riley. It is October 12th, 2024, and I am sitting here with Amber Benton. Amber, can you tell me a little bit about what times you were here and what your field of study was?
So I was here 2005. Yeah, freshman year was 2005, and I graduated in 2009.
Okay.
And I started out as a double major in biology and Spanish, but I wanted to finish in 4 years. And so in order to do that, if I kept the biology, I would have had to be here longer. So dropped biology my senior year and just graduated with my Spanish major. I think it's officially like bachelor's, like world languages in Spanish now, I think is what they're calling it.
But, yeah. Okay. And where did you live?
While I was on campus, or so I was on, I lived on campus all 4 years of my time here. So started out in Walter Hall, and then after that, I moved into Burlingham Hall because I was an RA, and so I was in the first incoming group that got to stay in Burlingham Hall, and then I stayed in Burlingham after that with some roommates who I'm still close with today.
Okay. And were you involved in particular activities or organizations, sports?
Yeah, so, and also I should say I did a stint in Vanderbilt, the park, because tied into your question now, I was a student ambassador at the time, and so we had ambassador training. We got to stay in the upperclassmen apartments for the summer. But I did a couple of things, like first year, as I was out of state, I was a first-gen college student, you know, one of just a handful of black students on campus, and I came from Las Vegas, and that year I don't think there were any other freshmen, or at least I didn't meet any freshmen that were from Las Vegas until my sophomore year. There were some incoming students from Vegas, but so after freshman year, I got more involved, but part of that was because I became friends with a lot of students from Hawaii, and Auntie Etna was here at the time, and she was really supportive of me, and I really, since there weren't any black students, we didn't have Black Student Union or anything like that back then, I did a lot with NHOH, and so got linked into doing luau, and I took the hula class. I don't know if they still have the hula class, do they?
I've never heard of it.
But they used to offer, as an elective, you could take the hula, and it was here in the, it wasn't the Stoller Center at the time, it was just the PAC, but We had a hula class, and I took it two years in a row, and part of that is you had to dance a luau. But because I had friends, I also did Tahitian dancing, which the students ran that group and taught that dance. So I did a lot with the Hawaiian students, and then, like, more formally, like I said, I started sophomore year as a ambassador, and Joel was leading that at the time, just reconnected with him on LinkedIn. But that was fun, so I think that helped with my confidence, helped with my public speaking, because I kind of felt like I blossomed in the as a student. I'd be happy to talk to freshmen and give tours and help with Welcome Week, so that was really fun. And then the following year, I was an RA, so and again, I was in Burlingham Hall, so I did that for a year, and part of RA training, I remember we went whitewater rafting. I could not swim. My mother was very not so happy because it was a requirement to go whitewater rafting. Mm. I also wore glasses at the time, and I could not see. You had to lock your glasses in a little box. So, but that's a vivid memory. I'm happy I did it, and like at the end of the trip. But going on it is a little nervous. I did not enjoy the flip drill part of that, and so that was fun with RA training. And so I would say those are like the big. Biggest things I did, Victor was my professor for Spanish, and he was my thesis advisor, and so I used to also go to Spanish club, and Victor would always invite.
What's his last name, Victor?
Rodriguez.
Okay.
Yeah. Is he still here? Do you know?
I think I saw him yesterday.
Okay. Oh, yes, did you?
I think I did, yes.
I was going to say, he probably wouldn't even recognize you, but yeah, but he would host things, him and the other, I forget her name, but she was another woman who taught Spanish, and they would invite us to their house, and I remember Victor gave me a book when I graduated, a Spanish book, and so I tried to, you know, so I did like a mix of quite a few things, because we didn't have as much as formal things as the students do have now. Like the student orgs are way more expansive, and so I think that's what at least the bigger things that I remember.
What are some of the biggest changes you saw during your time at Pacific?
One is the Black Student Union, and that's part of why I wanted to be more engaged, because I got the postcard last year about the soul food dinner, and then I was like, I have to go see what this is. I was like, why is Pacific doing? This is my first question. Why is Pacific doing the soul food dinner? And our incoming, my class had a handful of Black students, and half of those, I would say, on time, I knew all the people on the list, but half of those students were from Hawaii, so their connection was with NHOH. So it was like, they kind of had a thing, but for students who were Black and not from Hawaii, there wasn't really anything. So I was like, when I got the soul food, I was like, what are they doing? And then I looked it up and I was like, oh, they have a Black Student Union now. And I saw the photo of the faculty. And so that is a very big change. The fact that we have a Black alumni chapter, that's big. And I did a tour today around campus, just seeing the buildings. It's nice to see that they're still there, but they're very well preserved. But there's a lot more dorms on campus, it seems like. And then the dining hall is still there, still the big dining hall. But I was like, it's expanded because now there's a coffee shop. It was like, it used to be the bistro back then where we would study. And, that was a place you could get late-night food because, this is pre-Uber, pre-Lyft. You're not going anywhere. And I didn't have a driver's license. I never drove, and I never got one. So my whole 4 years I was here, I was, on the bus and the MAG. So if I wanted something, the bistro is where we all would hang out. So I'm like, look, it's like a little store, and now there's a car, and then there's a seven. I was like, it's two things. It's like, we didn't have all of that. So that's nice. And also now there's a football team, because there was not a football team when I was here. Soccer was if you want to go to sporting event, everybody's going to the soccer game. So I say that's from that standpoint. Also, it's nice to hear that Pacific's more diverse now, that it's trying to get HSI status, and be a double minority serving institution. So I went to UNLV for my master's, and UNLV is a double minority serving institution. So I was like, it'd be kind of nice to say both my alma maters are double MSI. So, so there's that. But I'd say, the essence of Pacific is still, is still here. The class, I was like, they maintained, even though I know they said it's dipped a little, but I was like, it's still small. It's not like the population is double, which I think is good. You get to know, for better or for worse, you get to know everybody and everything, because if you stay, all the way till graduation, it's like you do get to know everybody. And our president at the time knew all, I told him all the time, President Phil, Dr. Phil, he knew all of our names, and he would sit in the UC and have lunch with us and talk to us, and he'd walk the campus. So that was nice, but it seems like that feeling of people caring and is still here. But I'd say the biggest change is with the Black students. I went to the soul food dinner last night, co-hosted that, and I was like, wow, there are Black students who actually fill here. And there's alumni. I was like, when I was here, I was like, there was no Black alumni connection. I didn't even know that there were Black alumni till I joined the Black alumni chapter, that at a time Pacific had, over 100 Black students here. It's like, nobody ever told me that history when I was on campus. So I think that's nice that now we're kind of merging generations, and so I hope the Black, this reiteration of the Black Student Union, that can be sustained. So, long answer to your question.
But any controversies or big things that controversies or struggles on campus, things where people are disagreeing about?
I don't know if there was a big, now that I'm an adult and the work, I'm an associate dean for DEI, and I've gone to grad school, and then I study social issues, and so I'm way more socially conscious than I was at Pacific. Now when I teach on microaggressions, I'm like, I didn't have that language back then, and I think if I did, maybe I would have picked up on it. I would say as a student body, I feel like the biggest thing was about tuition. People always like, you know, it's a private school. It's not the most expensive, you know. I think at the time Pacific was still considered like an affordable private school. But, you know, many of us first gen, it was, I feel like that was the thing people always talked about was affording Pacific. Mm-hmm. I would say for me, though, I did have some challenges as a student. I just felt like being here sometimes, like Dr. Phil was great, but I think the administration under him was not always the most supportive of me as a Black student. You know, and I work in higher ed now. It's very easy to say, like, it's somebody else's job. You know, like, Auntie Edna, it's her job with the Hawaiian students. But I'm like, you know, student life, your responsibility is all the students. So when I was here at Pacific, it was just, like, little rumblings of things that, and I don't blame my classmates, but, like, how do we foster people having, like, a multicultural experience? I'm coming from Vegas, and I like, you know, white students would say things to me sometimes just because their experience is from Oregon, like, you know, or, like, I'd get shamed for not, I didn't know what composting was till I got to Pacific. I'm like, we aren't composting in Vegas, you know? So it's little things like that. I remember the student my freshman year told me, I know more about Black history than you do. And I was like, wow. You know, because he lived, you know, he grew up around, why is the city slipping me? But the Black Wall Street, and he's like, I know all about this. And, and I was like, you know, it's, so, you know, students would just say some of these things in passing. But one of the biggest things I remember is when I was an RA, I think we were still in RA training. I think we came back from the whitewater rafting. Maybe it was like the first few weeks of semester. But I was in Burlingham, and my room that I had in Burlingham, I had two roommates. But I had a private entrance to my bedroom. And we had, you know, all the RAs had whiteboards next to it. And we came back, and me and two other RAs, and somebody had wrote the N-word across my marker board. And I don't know if we had, I don't think we had cameras in the dorms, or at least they told us they weren't real cameras, but they could not find out. But I felt like that, you know, we have more knowledge now, but I feel like back then nobody really did it. My two RA friends, they were the ones who told people, and they were like, you don't need to wipe that off your board. We're going to have somebody from the school needs to come and clean it up. So they made sure it got cleaned up, but I don't remember my hall director ever really talking, like, it was just kind of like, you know, do your duty rounds, just kind of like, we'll get it cleaned up, business as usual. And I'm like, you know, nobody to really talk about that experience with, because I'm only a handful of black students. I was never told a process. I was never told, like, and I get it's hard to find out who did it if there's no cameras. But clearly somebody did in the night, because I remember they wrote across my marker board, and, like, the marker even, like, went onto the wall, so it seemed like they wrote in a rush, but definitely big, and it was big. It was big enough to know, I mean, it was clear what they called me. It was no process. Nobody ever asked about that. And so there were things like that that would happen on campus, and, like, there were certain faculty, I remember, who were very blunt. Like, they did not think I had a chance at going to grad school, not being successful. And I was kind of like, I don't know where you would get that from outside of your own biases. So I felt like that type of stuff was a part of my experience. But again, it wasn't like a controversy, because it wasn't enough of us to have, like, I didn't know if other Black students were experiencing this. Like, we didn't talk about it. And I felt like sometimes the Hawaiian students' issues overshadowed any other student. Not saying their experiences weren't valid, but it was like, you know, like, the wine students got to have two, and moved into two Hawaiian meals a week in the UC. So they got to have their food, but it was also like, who else's culture? We also had international students, exchange students here, and it's like, well, we could just kind of, like, try to divvy this up easy. But again, it was because, like, there was a lot of Hawaiian, and they could demand those things. And so, you know, I don't ever remember there really being a big deal about any, like, Black history. Anything like that. So, you know, it was an interesting time. We had that's the thing. I don't remember there being any Black faculty when I was here. And now there's Black faculty. And you know, I saw Dr. Whitehead here, and she was very impactful in like my learning, because I do DI work now, and I was telling her feminism class meant so much to me. I was like, just like all these things we get to talk about, but I took it, so I feel like I took it senior year. So it was like, if I would have probably took it earlier, I probably would have added on sociology and tried to do that instead of the biology. But yeah, in the biology and the chemistry department, is a lot of white men teaching those classes. And yeah, I kept their recommendation letters that they tried to write for me, and they were, I look back, I think I've gotten rid of that. They're some of the most horrible letters. Like, they would have been better just declining writing me a letter than actually writing it. Mm-hmm. It said nothing about me academically. But yeah. But it was really, like, the science faculty who did not have any, like, faith in me as a student. So, yeah. So I would say that's, like, the biggest thing. Outside of that, I wasn't on campus, but I went and studied abroad in Spain. That was a part of we were required to do that, so I went to Sevilla, and that was a really nice experience. And the big thing at that time was President Obama got elected. Mm-hmm. I tried to participate in voting overseas, and my ballot came back to me a month later saying not to deliver, but it got elected anyway. Mm-hmm. But that was I wasn't on campus, but that was a big thing for us in Spain. We're like, oh, you know, we get to be a part of electing the first black president. Mm-hmm. So it'd have been nice to see what the reaction was on campus. But so I would say that's like the biggest historical moment I remember as a student. Yeah.
I'm sorry to hear about all that stuff that happened on campus to you. I appreciate you telling me. Yeah. Is there anything else you want to share about your time at Pacific?
I will just say, it was like, I think, you know, despite it all, I think I got a really good education at Pacific. I was telling Pierre, the chief diversity, I was like, I don't know if professors still do this. I was like, but when we were at Pacific, there was, I don't know if it was a policy or just the ethos of the place, but they did not allow us to do Scantrons or multiple choice exams. You had to, because they were talking about students or midterms, but I was like, you had to know. I was like, and that's also like where my challenge was. Like, I did have to repeat a class, because it was like, you just have to know the material to study. And going through that, I'm like, I do all the things that, like, universities, like, we empower critical thinking, and I was like, I really do believe it. I mean, a lot of schools say, but I was like, I really do think that, you know, where they lacked in bias, you know, inclusive thinking, I think, you know, it did help with the critical thinking part, so I really appreciate that. I will say, honestly, Pacific, I didn't really feel smart until I left and I went to grad school, and I was like, nothing against my peers at other places, but I've gotten a master's and a PhD, and I'm like, being at Pacific really did, my professors in grad school told me, they're like, going wherever you went, it was really good developing your writing skills. They're like, you have really strong writing skills, and I was like, I attribute that to, like, the test-taking methods we had at Pacific and the critical thinking. So I think, like, and you get to do that in a small class versus now I work at a big school, and so I do think that it was there were challenges, but I do appreciate the education I received while I was here, even in biology, even though I didn't finish it, biology, but then also my language skills with Victor. I'm rusty now, but but still, I mean, I would be embarrassed to try to write an academic paper in Spanish now, but still, like, all, like, my Spanish and grammar skills, you know, even just critically thinking and trying to write things in another language, I appreciate Pacific for, so yeah.
Well, thanks so much for stopping by.